When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey everybody, and welcome to The Press. It is a second show of the week for us. We're going to look at the model, current form, horse or course, talk about the golf course for the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio, just outside of Columbus. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. We're going to have a second show today as well. The third show of the week, second show of the day. And we'll talk about everything else that's happening this week. LIV Houston, Volvo Scandinavian Mixed, the LPGA in Atlantic City, the Atlantic City area. It's not in Atlantic City proper. We'll touch for a couple seconds on the Korn Ferry and the Champions. All right. Let's get into the model. Ran it late last night, published it this morning. Just been a wild week. It's some of you may or may not know, we are coming out with a streaming TV channel, 24/7 streaming TV channel, and that is coming out in the next couple of weeks. Was hoping to get it out for the U.S. Open, get it started, but it doesn't look like that's going to work that way, and that's fine. Hey, that's 1 week of our lives. But a lot of things coming together on that front very, very quickly. So it's a different world we're about to operate in as Golf News Net. That won't affect this podcast, but there's a lot going on with it. All right, so model for the week. Ran it. We have obviously 72, 73 players in the field. If you're a subscriber, golfnewsnet.com, $40 a year, $10 for a week, then you can get access to all of the model. We do the top 10 on this show just because it seems pretty apparent to me most weeks who the top 10 is going to be. And if I give out a couple nuggets, so be it. But you can check out the whole list because there are plenty of weeks where someone who's in the 30s wins because that's how rankings work. They don't tell you who's going to win. They tell you who's most likely to win. And in golf, those percentages are fairly small. So you have to kind of take a ranking and understand it for what it is, which isn't supposed to be predictive. This isn't running 10,000 simulations and here's who wins and all that jazz. No. This is a ranking. This is a rubric based on the kind of methodology that I've used over the last 4 years to and now more than 4 years to get this out to you every week. All right. With that said, let's look at our top 10. Number one, Scottie Scheffler, far and away. Although Xander Schauffele has caught up to him by some measure in the ranking this week. So Scottie Scheffler is at 3.36 points. Xander Schauffele is at 2.64 points. That's pretty good. I mean, that's still a big gap. And the gap between Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele is the same as the gap between second and fourth. So that gap is a little bit tighter than we've seen in other tournaments where these guys have played together. So that gap is getting smaller. And then you have Rory McIlroy third, Patrick Cantlay at fourth, Will Zalatoris is fifth, Colin Morikawa is sixth, Victor Hovland is seventh, Hideki Matsuyama is eighth, Wyndham Clark ninth, Justin Thomas hanging in there at 10th, and that's why he is up there in the ranking, by the way, on the odds board. You know, when we talked in the first show of the week, like 25, 28 to 1, what are you talking about? There's no reason why. It's long-term, but also any chance to buoy his odds based on his PGA Championship performance, the books are going to take that advantage because he is a public player, right? The public's going to be like, I'm on JT this week. Well, they want to limit that exposure. He probably should be more like 35, 37, 40 to 1. But that just hope for the PGA Championship makes it easier to slash him under 30, 25, 28 to 1, depending on where you're looking. Jordan Spieth is 11th. Again, a long-term thing. He also has a very good track record on this golf course. And then you've got Max Homa at 12th and Ludvig Åberg at 13. So there's your top 13 for the week. A little extra there. I don't think any of those people are surprising. Maybe Zalatoris being 5th is surprising. He shouldn't be that high. He also missed a lot of time, but he has played well historically when you've had tournaments of this caliber field. And that's one of the metrics we use in this ranking. And that makes him a viable candidate. That's why he got snatched up at certain books from 80 to 1 at launch to now 65, 60 to 1. People were like, well, that's a mismatch. We'll take that. Even though his putting is horrific and it seems to have regressed back to the mean since he started using that lab putter, which frankly I think has an illegal lie angle. So that has changed, right? That's his bugaboo. If he were putting it a little bit more like in February and March, then he'd be 35, 40 to 1. And that's where I think people are seeing that value on Zalatoris, if he putts well. And I think that's something fair to say about this tournament, because the greens are typically extremely fast at Muirfield Village for the Memorial. 13, 14 on the snip meter. And they get faster over the course of the week. And that makes the skill of putting not quite as important as at other tournaments. I've said this about the Masters. The skill of putting is not as important at the Masters or, frankly, even the U.S. Open, because the green speeds are often so high that everyone's going to struggle. The skill of putting as measured in those championships is a little different. It's, can you avoid three putting? Can you be a good lag putter? Are you good from distance? Can you make a confident 7-footer and not power lip out and leave another 7-footer? Those types of things are what really make the difference in fast green tournaments. It's not line and speed do matter, but you know everyone's going to struggle finding the right line and speed, especially when you're above the hole. So that means someone like Zalatoris can thrive without putting so well. He might even not lose as many strokes putting wise relative to his peers. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's that listing, that's that ranking, right? Now, we can go look at current form and horses for courses and all of that good stuff. So let's pull that up here, and then we'll get into short-term form, which is kind of our short-term model, but you know, give you an idea about the event. All right, let's go into top 15 finishes in the last 5 individual PGA Tour events played. Myrtle Beach Classic still included in this, so there are some players who have that in here. Not many. Just a quick glance. One. One. And that's Ryan Fox. So if you look at what you've got field-wise, you've got a number of players who are playing well. And actually, Ryan Fox shouldn't be on that listing. I don't know why I had him on there. But if you look at the almost 15 players in the field that have multiple top 15 finishes in the last 5 individual PGA Tour events played, that's an indication, obviously, of the quality of field, but also that there are a bunch of people playing pretty decent golf this time of year. And some of them have played well more recently, kind of like Wells Fargo PGA, Wells Fargo Colonial. Those are probably the people you want to look at more, but that's kind of everybody on this list, to be honest with you. Wells Fargo, PGA, PGA, Colonial, that's the list. So, and if you have like Ben On has the Nelson, right? The Nelson and the Wells Fargo. So he's been playing well, but he played well earlier in May than later in May. Sam Burns, the alternative, played pretty well at the Wells Fargo, played well at the RBC Canadian Open. Seems to be playing himself into form. Corey Connors, Ben Griffin, who's really played well the entire month. Last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, he's been playing. I mean, he's been great all year, but he's been especially good those last couple times out. Lee Hodges, playing pretty well, kind of somewhat out of nowhere, but had a great PGA Championship, had a great follow-up Colonial, both T12 finishes. Mack Hughes is starting to play extremely good golf. T6 at Wells Fargo, T7 at the Canadian Open. I liked him last week as a low Canadian, and, you know, we got pipped by Corey Connors in the end, but that was close. Sungjae Im's playing pretty well. Wells Fargo, T4, T9 at Colonial. So he's been playing pretty well. Rory McIlroy, the only guy with actually three such finishes like that on this list. One Wells Fargo, T12 the PGA, tied for fourth the RBC Canadian Open. Made a good run on Sunday, just too far behind to even get to Bob McIntyre. Colin Morikawa, back-to-back tournaments, T4s at the PGA Championship and at Colonial. Alex Noren, T3 at the Nelson, T12 at the PGA, so more on the back end. Taylor Pendrith won the Nelson, T10 at the Wells Fargo. Hasn't played quite as well since, so he's in, but maybe you want to drop him off a little bit. Xander Schauffele, he's been incredible all year. I mean, he really has been. Lots of top 10s. Obviously won the PGA's last time out. Second the Wells Fargo Championship, where he surrendered. What should have been a big win. Scottie Scheffler, T8 at the PGA, with an asterisk for an arrest, and runner-up at Colonial. And then Sepp Straka, T8 at Wells Fargo, T5, or 5th at Colonial. So those are your current good performer, current informed guys, as I view it. Some people like different metrics. They might like the last 10 events. They might like top 20s or top 25s in the last 5 events. Whatever your metric is up to you. But that to me is what matters. Get in the top 15. I don't care how deep the field is, and see where it goes. So that's my metric. Event finish history. There are a fair number of players who have a pretty good record here, and some of them may seem somewhat surprising. So let's go through them. Matt Fitzpatrick has a couple of top 15s in the last 5 years. Ricky Fowler has 3. Ricky Fowler's got a new putter this week. Maybe a little putter wand magic. 100, 130 to 1, depending on where you look. Might be worth $5 for fun. Max Homa has a couple. Billy Horschel has 3. He's done the job here. He loves playing this course. He loves this tournament. Man, he loves this tournament. Playing pretty good. Not as good as he was earlier in the year, in earlier May. But I think could be a guy to look out for. Siwoo Kim has a shockingly good record here. I don't think of this as a place that he would like. But he has 3 top 15s in the last 5 years. Denny McCarthy has a couple. Also surprising. Not a good driver of the golf ball. And this golf course has been set up for the last 3-4 years to be U.S. Open light, yet he found himself in a playoff last year. And wasn't even U.S. Open light. It was more U.S. Open than the U.S. Open setup in terms of old school setup. So maybe some surprises there. Xander Schauffele has 3. Again, has trouble kind of scratching into the top 10, but he's just been so good. He's on another level this year. Kind of almost assume he's going to be in the top 10. I don't think that's a horrible bet. Top 10 bet is not horrible. Scottie Scheffler, a couple of them, but not that he doesn't love this tournament. Just doesn't have. This isn't like one of his courses. He can win here, win anywhere, but this isn't one of his courses. And then Jordan Spieth with 3. And he's always kind of had a love affair with this place, I think, because he can hit the cut. And the place is not designed for a cut, but friendly to a cut. Let's put it that way. Look at the course breakdown, course fits we're looking for. I do this because I've always done this for years since we've had these tools about course fit. And that's great. But I will always caution people when I talk about course fit. I'm not saying like this person's going to do well. It's more like if they play their normal brand of pretty good golf. If this is your golf as an individual when you finish in the top 25, that's what it looks like. And then compare that to players who finish in the top 25 at a tournament. Where's the matching? That doesn't mean you have to play it that way to win, right? Scotty won the Masters playing a different brand of golf. But at least in concept, it gives you an idea of some players who you might like based on how they gain strokes when they play well. This is a different kind of breakdown. A little less reliance on putting, as you'll see, 30% putting strokes gained, 70% tee to green. It's a little bit more usually like 67-33, closer to somewhere in the low 30s, not 30 bang on. So this does rely a little bit less on putting than your average PGA Tour course. Around the green is up a little bit. Off the tee is about right. And same with approach is about right. So with thick rough, tough runoff, stuff like that, you got to be able to chip and putt. It is important. But chipping is a little bit more important here than other places. So your fits for that include Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood, Ben Griffin, and Tom Dietrich. Again, use that with caution. Use the information with caution. But you heard a lot of those names in terms of course history. Cantlay, Spieth, Fowler. Griffin doesn't really have much course history here to work with. But Fleetwood would, and also kind of, this is Tommy Fleetwood. He's not a good putter. He's a great tee to green player. So that kind of fits. Tom Dietrich, same way. Not a good putter. He four putted this year from 5 feet. So take from that what you will. But that's a guy that fits at least the concept of this course. Now, let's go take a look at the short-term form. And again, this is available for our members at golfnewsnet.com, $40 a year. We'll talk about it a little bit here just because I think it helps kind of add some color to what you're seeing every week. So we call it the short-term model, but really we're looking at the last 10 events played. And we're looking for guys who are gaining at least 0.6 strokes on the average on the approach in the last 10 tournaments played. Not their last 10 tournaments, the last 10 tournaments. We're looking for somewhere of at least 1.2 strokes gained per round on the average in those last 10. Or 1.5 strokes or better in the quality strokes gained. Now that's going to be a little bit of a misnomer here this week, because quality strokes gained is your strokes gained multiplied by the quality of your competition. So in a major, you get 100 points for the winner. What we do is move the decimal place over two places to the left and multiply by two. So that's your multiplier. So a major, it's multiplied by two. Last week in Canada, it was 0.84 or something like that. So the strokes gained aren't quite as meaningful at that championship. So guys who have played well at the PGA, they're going to see a bump here. So we're trying to line up all of those guys best possible. But we're going to work off of guys who have gained that 1.2 or better in total, you know, the regular total. So here's those guys. Shoffley, Scheffler, McIlroy, Hovland, Thomas, Morikawa, Sepp Straka. Sepp Straka is a guy you got to bet this week. He's playing great on the approach. I mean, it stinks chipping, but if he can just kind of hit fairways in greens, he's got a great chance. Alex Noren, Ben Griffin, Tom Dietrich, Taylor Pendrith, Sungjae Im, Russell Henley, who's always there, Davis Riley. Davis Riley is struggling on the approach, but pretty good off the tee. That's not going to help him this week. Russell Henley is the opposite. Not very good off the tee. Great on the approach. That could hurt him this week because this is a 7,500-yard golf course. It's longer. It does matter how far you hit it at times on a golf course like this. Colin Morikawa proved that's not universally required, but he's also putting the ball in play and feeling really confident. So if you're hitting fairways at 290, it's not quite as good as the rough at 310 or 320, but that's something you can work with if you're a quality ball striker. So Morikawa's ball striking, frankly, is not as good as it should be. Really isn't. If he can elevate that at all, he wins this tournament. I mean, it's really that simple. And then looking at guys who have that strokes gain number above 0.6 per round, there are surprising numbers of people. Seamus Power is one of them. I mean, his overall, he stinks at everything else right now, but the approach play is fabulous. Akshay Bhatia, same thing. Struggling in three facets of the game, but the approach play is great. Kurt Kitayama, awful, awful putter. I mean, my God, it's awful. But if he can putt at all, he can contend. He can be a top 10 bet. Siwoo, playing great golf, awful, awful putters. Kitayama's the same guy. They're just great approach play, pretty decent driving, terrible putting. Just horrendous. Sahith Theegala, in that area, just not gaining. I mean, he's just chipping and pitching is bad. It's not good. That's what's costing him a lot of strokes. Denny McCarthy, not great off the tee, not great on the approach. Great chipping, great putting. That's what he's doing it with. Tom Hoagie, very strong approach play, pretty decent off the tee, not great around the greens, pretty decent putting. I mean, he should be doing better than he is. Corey Connors, basically net zero everything else, but he's gaining over a stroke per round on the approach. And that makes him a viable candidate to play any tournament, because if he can do any of those things better than he does them, he can contend and win. Keegan Bradley, same guy. Incredible approach play, basically nets out to zero on everything else. Great approach play. Tony Finau, doing everything pretty okay, losing a little bit on the putter. That's where his bugaboo is. We've always known that. So those are your guys that stand out just because of their approach play. And then we talked about Sepp Straka. And then, of course, your top four. They are great at pretty much everything. Xander, Scheffler, McIlroy, Hovland. So even when we talk about those guys kind of stinking it up with putting, and we've talked about that with Xander and Scotty and Rory and Victor over the years, they're still gaining. They're still above their peers. So just got to keep that in mind sometimes when you think about betting and putting your hard-earned money on this stuff. So there's that. I think that kind of covers all the things we typically talk about around these types of tools. And again, this week is, I think, can be a measuring stick for the U.S. Open to a degree. And we'll be there next week, by the way. Very excited about that. But if you're looking at this market, it's not moving much because most of the money is going to come in on these top four on the board. Scheffler plus 360 still there. Xander and Rory plus 900. Colin Morikawa, I think, is shortened up a little bit, but he's 14-1. Hovland 16-1. Then you get to Cantlay, Hobert. Fleetwood shortened up maybe a little bit to 28. JT's gotten a little bit longer, actually. Good news in that market. Home has gotten a little bit shorter. He's 40-1. Hideki's 40-1. Sam Burns 45-1. He's shortened up a little bit. Sahith has shortened up a little bit. Finau certainly has a little bit. Sungjae, Siwoo. I mean, all the, we just talked about all these. These are all the guys. These are the guys. You can't bet Ben on because he doesn't win. You can't bet Alex Noren because he doesn't win. Wyndham's got a little bit shorter. And his fade can play very well here. I mean, that's Jack Nicklaus brand of golf, but it seems like he's kind of lost the plot a little bit. Connors at 55 and Straka at 60. Keegan Bradley at 60. All of those things make a whole ton of sense. I liked Shane Lowry at the beginning of the week. I don't like him as much now. Cameron Young, 65-1. Cam Young, 65-1. Again, I just can't touch him until he starts doing some stuff net better. Denny McCarthy, 70-1. Billy Horschel, 71. Billy Horschel is a good bet. Zalatoris has fallen back a little bit. He got real short real quick. Now he's gotten a little bit longer. So you do have that value there at that 75-1 number. Hoagie, 80-1. There's definitely value there. I see value in Lucas Glover at 90-1. We've talked about Kitayama. God, if he could putt. Ricky Fowler loves this golf course. He plays well on it. So 101, maybe there's your value ticket there. Austin Eckroat really came out well in my model in the 20s. That works for me. I think this course is a little too tough for Ben Griffin, but that's just me. Mac Hughes playing great golf, 110-1. I think it's worth, you can find some values here in that kind of group of guys. And then once you get a little bit deep, that's interesting. So the NC Jackson Quivoon is making his Memorial debut this week. I mean, he's played just incredible collegiate golf. And he's 180-1. That's better than Adam Hadwin, Seamus, well, same as Adam Hadwin, better than Seamus Power, Adam Schenck, Jake Knapp, Eric Cole, guys who have played really good golf on the PGA Tour. I find that kind of stunning. But you may want to look at, you know, someone in this range, but that's not your guy, I don't think. Mac Hughes is probably where I would stop the betting and just kind of hope, you know, like someone like Seamus Power doesn't all of a sudden decide he's going to start doing some stuff better than just approach play. I mean, there may be value there, but I would not be able to take him 200-1 pre-tournament. I could consider him on a top 20. I think there is that value there, but not otherwise. I think you have to think about, if you're thinking about tournament props and winning margin stuff, we do talk about that sometimes here, and we'll talk about it for a second. One stroke in a playoff, I think, are your best chances. What's really interesting to me is that the books have modeled this one out and think it could be a blowout. So four strokes or more is plus 285. We've had a number of blowouts, but not nearly as many, I think, as last year. And I think you're better looking at one or a playoff than four strokes. And you can get plus 225 on that one stroke and get plus 300 on a playoff. I think those are your best options, and we've talked about this strategy in the past, but if you want to make just a tinge of profit, then you pick two that you like. They're all always better than plus 200 each. And if you get one, you make a little bit of profit. If you don't, then okay. But I'm not asking you to bet $500 on each of these things. Like $5, you know, just a little extra bankroll help. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. But it is nice to have a little bit of sweat on a winning margin prop when everything's been settled and you don't have a chance to get the winner. It's just nice to have that ticket. It's kind of a nice little security blanket. Okay, we'll talk about a couple of matchups real quick and pull those up for you. Tournament matchups are my favorite. I do not like single round. I do not like that kind of, I don't want that kind of volatility. You can bet it if you want, but that's not my game. Keegan Bradley, minus 120 versus Sepp Straka. I'd probably take Sepp at even money there. He's playing better tee to green. It's a close matchup, though. Corey Connors, minus 130 against Wyndham Clark. I think Connors is the play there at minus 130, but that may be a hard one to take. Russell Henley, minus 150 against Max Homa, plus 115. I feel like you got to take Max there. I know Max is not playing his best golf, but he likes his golf course, loves his tournament. Henley's playing well, though. I think that's a fair price, but I would go after Max Homa there. Victor Hovland, minus 140 against JT, plus 115. That sparkle of hope from the PGA probably influences why this matchup was created in the first place, as opposed to some other golfer against Hovland. I think if you flip the case, you say, okay, well, JT hasn't played that great, just played well the PGA. Well, so did Hovland. He hasn't played that great all year. And there's a very realistic possibility that the tinkerer that Victor Hovland is will take some of what he got fixed by Joe Mayo at the PGA Championship or beforehand and mess around. And if he messes around, he might screw up. So I think there is some value on Justin Thomas at plus 115. Then I don't really love any other matchup on the board there. So I'll just leave that otherwise to you if you'd like to bet that kind of stuff. All right. I think that's going to do it for this edition of the show. That should cover everything Memorial. I'm going to stop recording. Then we're going to start another episode. We'll talk about Live Houston. Talk about the LPGA in Atlantic City. We'll talk about the Champions for a hot second, the Korn Ferry Tour for a hot second. We'll talk about the Volvo Car Scandinavian Mix for a few minutes. It's an interesting tournament, so that you may be able to find some value there. So we'll talk about that. If you have any questions for me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy, Facebook, YouTube, Ryan Ballingy Golf. Back with another show just here shortly. Good luck with all your bets this week. Thanks for listening to the show, and we'll talk to you next time on The Press.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything, and seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.